All right. Happy week four, everybody. Welcome to the Free Stretch Podcast. I am Bobby Fenton coming to you live from the immaculately groomed grounds of One Game Day Place. Set to record here as we set up for week four in the National Football League. The Buccaneers coming off of a loss. Our first podcast after a loss. I was thinking about that this week. How's it going to be different? Had a podcast before there was a game. Had one after a big win. That's different. This is our first one after things have gotten a little bit ugly. And I'll tell you what. I've been wrong on this show before. I'll be wrong again. But the first thing that came to my mind watching the game on Sunday, and I did watch all of it as I always do, even though it was not easy to do in the second half especially, I seem to remember talking in the last show about the quarterback situation for the Vikings. And I remember saying, and it's, you know, on the channel now, you can look at all the old podcasts, not just the most recent ones, so you can go back to week two, the third podcast overall, if you want to. I remember saying, yeah, you know, we're not sure, as of this recording, Sam Bradford looking like he might be out. Not official yet, but we'll see. I don't think it really matters anyway, I said. I don't think there's much difference between Sam Bradford and Case Keenum. And I'm not really worried if Bradford does play. That's fine. Well, I had it backwards. There was a difference. I actually should have been rooting all along for the starter to not be hurt and to play, because the backup, Case Keenum, appears to be somebody that the Bucs have literally no chance of stopping anytime he steps on a football field across from them. And he lights them up again for the third year in a row. They're now 0-3. There's three active quarterbacks. Get this, there's three active quarterbacks the Bucs have faced. Now, this isn't all time. Again, this is just guys currently playing quarterback. There's three of them that have beaten the Bucs more than once while being undefeated. So not counting guys who are 1-0 against the Bucs, but guys who are 2, 3, 4. Guess who they are, okay? They're Case Keenum, who just kicked the Bucs ass again. They are Eli Manning, who the Bucs play this Sunday, who's 5-0 against the Bucs. Keenum, at least, is only 3-0. Eli's 5-0. And they're Tom Brady, who the Bucs play in the three games in a row. And you've got Keenum 3-0, Eli 5-0, and Brady's 3-0 against the Bucs. So if the Bucs want to avoid starting 1-3, they're going to have to beat one of those guys who have beaten them handily. And this franchise stuff over the years, I don't want to make too big of a deal out of it because, yeah, Tom Brady played the Bucs, you know, whatever, 2009. That doesn't matter now. None of the players are the same players. Just an interesting stat. But surely I thought the Case Keenum 2-0 record was a fluke and that things would be fine if the Bucs faced him again this week. So let's talk about where we need to be as Bucs fans for a minute, because I've always preached on my past shows when I have the radio show and in life in general, don't be a reactionary. People who are reactionaries, usually they're not measured. They don't usually think with their heads. They think too much with their hearts. And they generally jump to conclusions way earlier than you're supposed to. And it goes both directions. Reactionary people make things sound like they're the worst thing in the world when things aren't going well. And if something's good, they act like nothing could ever mess this up and everything's going to be perfect from here on in going forward. That's what reactionary people do. I always prided myself and I always try to encourage my listeners not to be reactionary. And so, with a game like this past Sunday, much like the game before on the other side of the spectrum in week two, the first game, it's important not to get too high or too low. You might feel like, oh, the Bucs suck. We're terrible. I thought we were going to be a playoff contender, maybe even a Super Bowl contender. Now it looks like we're just terrible. That's not true. Just like it wasn't true that we were going to the bowl after beating the Bears 29-7. The NFL especially, and this is true for sports in general, but the NFL especially, I mean, I'm more convinced of it now than ever. Literally, almost nothing matters week to week in the NFL. Like, what, nothing carries over. Nothing that happened last week gives you anything for the next week. There's no such thing as momentum or anything like that. Like, literally, every week is just a... I shouldn't even say it's random, because it almost seems like the worse you are one week, the better you'll be the next week. And the better you are, the worse you'll be the next week. And as a gambler, I should know this by now. And I another thing I told you last week that ended up being dead wrong. I remember thinking about all the lines that came out for the games, and I saw the Bucks line, the Vikings actually being favored by a couple points. And I was like, wow, that seems strange. Really like the Bucks this week. I thought that line should be Bucks minus four. I remember this clearly. I said, hey, not trying to tell you to do anything with your money, but I think the Bucks would be a great play this week. Yeah, no. And I didn't do it myself, but it's been proven time and time again. You want to know who's going to play well in the NFL in a given week? Look at the teams who did poorly the week before, especially teams who maybe did poorly on a bigger stage or on a national TV game. Look at them. They're going to bounce back, and vice versa. This week, it was a bunch of teams that could make that. I mean, look at that Cowboys-Broncos game last week. Oh, man, Denver going out statement game. Hey, they're for real. They're not the only. The Patriots aren't the only ones in the AFC. And the Chiefs, there's the Broncos now, too. Oh, man, big win over the Cowboys. Destroyed them. Denver goes out, lays an egg this week. Doesn't do anything. Loses to the Bills. Cowboys in that same game who got embarrassed. Oh, man, Ezekiel Elliott's not hustling. There's infighting. Dez Bryant's not happy. On and on and on. Dak Prescott, maybe not what he thought he'd be. We should call Tony Romo back. On and on and on. Cowboys go out, look great Monday night. No problem against the Cardinals. The Bucks themselves, like I said, Bears game, Super Bowl. We're going. Book tickets now for Minnesota. This week, we're terrible. We may not stop another guy again from throwing for under 400 yards. And then you've got the team the Bucks beat, by the way, last in the first game, the Bears, who go out there this week and get a big win nobody thought they'd be able to get over the Steelers. And just beat them like a drum. Remember watching the Bucks-Bears game in the opener? Thinking, God, the Bears suck. Yeah, I know the Bucks won and everything, but God, it's a bad Bears team. Don't take too much pride in this one. Well, that bad Bears team now goes out and beats a good Pittsburgh team. The Redskins, another one. I forgot about them. Yeah, they look like complete jabronis the first couple of weeks. And you're thinking, ah, this is a Raiders team. They're going to come in. I know it's a road game on Sunday night, cross country, but that's okay. Hey, David Carr and the Raiders, they're due to be better. Redskins, just drub them. Nothing in the NFL week to week matters. Like, just remember that. And remember that all season long when you're watching the Bucks. Don't think for one second, when they're playing badly, it means they're not going to do it, and it means they're not going to have a good season. And don't think when they start playing well, it means they're good to go. With that said, though, doesn't mean you can't be concerned about certain things. And watching this secondary at work, I mean, my God. Like, Brent Grimes being hurt, if that's all it takes, and Brent Grimes, as good as he is, you know, a little bit older, especially for that position, and that doesn't mean he can't play. It just means that sometimes literally he can't play, like this past weekend. And you saw what the Bucks were dealing with there. Although it wasn't even necessarily losing Grimes. I mean, Vernon Hargraves, who's the other starter, was terrible. And the Bucks looked like they just had, again, just no chance of stopping Case Keenum, no chance of stopping the Minnesota receivers. The first probably 35 to 40 minutes of that football game almost literally looked like the Alabama-Vanderbilt game the day before, like where one team is just so far and away better than the other talent-wise that they shouldn't even be on the same field. And we know that's not true in the NFL, but that's what it looked like. And it makes you a little scared. I mean, I'm scared for our secondary. I'm very concerned about Vernon Hargraves, who, you know, I'm a Gator guy, as you may know. I went to UF, you know, so I've watched Hargraves his whole college career. Of course, he's a Tampa guy even before college. But seeing him, you know, 12 yards off of guys on like 2nd and 9, and then not only that, but then not even closing when they run an 8-9 yard route to the stick, turn around and just catch the ball. I mean, that's all that was happening a bunch of times. And then he just watches him do it, then goes up and tackles him first down, like just totally pitch and catch, resistance free. Not a great look. Again, I know Grimes was out. He is back at practice, by the way, this week, so that's a big, big step forward if they can get him back. But things like that are concerning. Jameis Winston. The picks, again, concerning. I'll even, you know, one of the picks I'll even waive because he's just throwing it up there. They're trying to make a play. They're down multiple scores late. That's fine. But they had a couple of the picks, the first two, that were very poorly thrown balls that could have been big plays. And the Bucs didn't make it happen. And it's one thing to miss out on a potential big play. It's another one to turn it over. And so, obviously, interceptions are always going to be a little bit of a part of what Jameis Winston brings. And that's okay. I mean, I'm not saying it, but, you know, deep ball's still an issue for him. Throwing downfield accurately, still a bit of an issue. Those things can be concerns. But even as they're concerns, again, the week-to-week rhythms of the NFL make no sense at all. Don't try to make sense of them. And in fact, if anything, go the other way. Every time you see a team that looks like they're in the tank, that they don't have it together, that they're hopeless, keep an eye on them the next week. And let's hope that trend holds true. I mean, what a weird week in the NFL it was. It wasn't just the Bucs game. I mean, like I said, you saw Dallas go out there, do what they're supposed to do after looking like they were in shambles the week before. Denver looked like they were all everything, gets hammered. Jacksonville, I mean, I pretty much wrote them off to, and they still might win two or three games or whatever it is, but they go out and just thump the Ravens, who look pretty good. Like, hey, the Ravens, maybe there could be a playoff team. And they still could be. But that was a college football score. Was it 44-6 or something like that? I have no idea what in the hell any of it means. And that brings us to the Giants coming up this week. And this is a Giants team who I really would have preferred. It doesn't matter necessarily. They're not more or less likely to win, I don't think, because of what happened the week before. But wouldn't you prefer a 1-2 Giants team than an 0-3? Then you're like, man, they're going to go 0-4? Like, to beat them, we have to make them 0-4 now? I'd rather them have been 1-2. They get beat on a 61-yard field goal as time expires, which is crazy in and of itself. But I will say this for the NFL. That was the most college football-like week we've had in a while. Just wild stuff, crazy finishes like the Philadelphia Giants one. Unpredictable things, upsets, all that stuff that is a routine staple of weekly college football. The NFL week three was like that a lot, too. And it was fun. I mean, it was fun. The Bucs game notwithstanding, obviously. But injuries are an issue now, as we know. And it's not great news, but I guess it could have been a lot worse, too. Lavonte David out for weeks. Not necessarily the whole season, but about a month, they're saying. And when you see a guy down like that, you see the cart come out. You see those token shots on the TV telecast. The directors always get those shots of, like, teammates of the guy, like, down on one knee with their head in their hands while the trainers tend to him. That's usually, like, torn ACL, something like, you know, you see those, you're like, oh, my God. Like, guys are crying on the field thinking the guy's out for the year. And it turns out that's not the case with Lavonte David, and that's good. But it's still, you're losing one of your best guys. And even as bad of a game as that was, Lavonte David was out there making some plays. So was Gerald McCoy, to his credit. So now Kendall Beckwith, who's been in there replacing Quan Alexander, is now going to replace Lavonte David for a while. Beckwith's been good. That's good. And hopefully we get Quan Alexander back, and you know both of those guys can be on the field at the same time. It's not so bad. But, you know, having the injuries they had in the game, just in game, on top of the injuries they had coming into the game, wasn't a great recipe. But that's no excuse. I mean, you got to be better than that. The secondary was terrible. And Brent Grimes alone isn't going to all of a sudden flip it on its head and they're going to be, you know, the best secondary in the history of ever or anything like that. It's a concern. It's a legitimate concern. Noah Spence back. You know, he got dinged up, but he's going to be okay. He's back this week. Everything should be fine. You know, he missed some time with that shoulder injury in the game on Sunday. And so, at this point now, you're looking ahead to this Giants game. T.J. Ward, I forgot to mention him, not hurt, but, you know, getting worked into the lineup as opposed to just being thrown in as a starter. He needs to be a starter now. He played about two-thirds of the snaps on Sunday, 62%. Expect that number to go up this week. Now, back to being reactionary and what it means. Some of you might have seen a story out there this week about Gerald McCoy, who responded. And Gerald McCoy's a feeler. Gerald McCoy's a guy who's going to say what's on his mind. I like that about him. He went out there and talked about, oh, hey, a lot of internet tough guys this week. People going on my Twitter feed. People going online saying stuff about the Bucks. Come say that to my face. I'll bet you they wouldn't. Now, I'm not wild about a team who's only 1-1 and coming off their first loss of the year. I mean, it's not like this is a team that's like 2-7 and it's getting away from them and things aren't going well. You're talking about a 1-1 team. Pretty routine, okay. 1-1, that's fine. And we're already getting into infighting with fans and things like that. I wasn't sure I liked McCoy even saying anything about it, but he did make a statement about that. And obviously, as you would imagine, when you open the door to the trolls, a bunch of fans wanted to take him up on it. One guy even drove to one Buck place and like pulled up to the security gate and said, hey, I'm here to talk to Gerald McCoy. He said he wanted to talk to people like me, so I'm here. And the security guy was actually pretty nice to him from what I understand, even though, of course, he did not get in. But hey, I'm one of you guys. I'm not a troll, but I'm one of the internet people. I'm on Twitter. I'm one of the fans. I say stuff. Not to players, and I don't type negative things about the team on Twitter. But the point is, that's always going to be happening. I mean, you could be 12-4 and have that happening to you. And again, Gerald McCoy, I'm not going to tell him how to live his life or anything. I mean, he's a different cat. He's a bit of a feeler. He's very candid. And those are things that make him a good person and a good teammate for the most part. I don't think he needs to be addressing fans in week 3 about how they're talking BS about him on the internet. What would you say to a Bucks player, by the way? Think about that. I mean, I've done some work in media, I've done some work in radio, so I've been around the team in a official capacity as a media member in the past. I've never really talked to players. Like, some guys will try to be buddy-buddy and try to act like they're one of the guys, and, you know, I've never done that. I've done a player show with Ryan Neese, you might remember, former Buccaneer, and I've gotten to know him a little bit, and some other guys, too, but, like, you know, just as a fan, if you saw a guy out in public and you actually had a chance to talk to a Bucks player, I don't think I'd say anything. I don't think I'd have my... I might say, hey, great job out there. Love what you're doing. Appreciate it. You know, blah, blah, blah. Something like that. But McCoy's right. I mean, what are you going to say to these guys? And I can assure you, whatever happens, win, lose, or draw out there, you know, unless a guy's doing something that's personally irresponsible, doesn't have himself ready to play. That's my high school football coach has always said. I don't mind if you make mistakes. I mind if you make a mistake because you weren't ready to play. If guys get themselves ready to play, that's all you can ask. As a fan, as a consumer, as someone who spends money. You know, guys drop passes. Guys are terrible in coverage like the Bucks were on Sunday. You can criticize them. But at the end of the day, like, their careers are on the line. They're trying to make a living. They're trying to stay in the league as long as they can. I can assure you, they're not out there just goofing around just to goof around. But again, there are times when guys don't have themselves ready to play. It's not just a simple act of not being good enough. And that part is in their control. But, I mean, I had a buddy who saw Ronnie Barber out in public. I think it's happened like actually 3 times now with the same buddy. And every time he sees Ronnie Barber somewhere, he goes up to him and tells him the same story about how he cried when he returned the interception for a touchdown in the 2002 NFC Championship. And that's, see, that I could see doing that, and I also cried when that happened. I remember it very clearly. But there's one other aspect of the whole fan relation thing that I do want to talk about real quick before we move forward. And I'm not going to do a whole anthem thing today, but everybody said their piece, and it's been all and on and on. I thought it would be over after this past weekend, but apparently, I was wrong about that too, because it's growing legs and people are talking about it and things like that. And I'm just going to say this one. I'm not going to do a whole podcast on the anthem things and stuff like that. I'm going to say this. Everybody's got a right to be turned on or turned off or put off or whatever. I personally think it's kind of dumb to get so wrapped up in what somebody does for the anthem. I think the fetishization, if I'm pronouncing that word correctly, of the flag, of our military, of all that stuff, gets a little out of hand sometimes. And that doesn't mean military appreciation gets out of hand. But this whole thing where we demand fealty and people need to be, you know, you got to have respect and your chin should go down to your chest and blah, blah. You know, I think we take that stuff way too far. With again, not just service members, but police, firefighters, all that stuff. Those people all should be appreciated. And those people all do jobs for not a lot of money that are obviously very dangerous or very time-consuming, have bad hours, things like that. But I think we take that stuff so far sometimes where we're so wrapped up in how, hey, did this guy show proper respect? Did he not show stop caring. Your life will be so much easier if you stop caring so much about that. Now, I'm not telling you to like it if somebody kneels for the anthem or not. I mean, like I said, everybody can be put on or put off by whatever they want to. But I tell my son this all the time about when he gets upset about something. You're really going to have a happier life the less you care about stuff that ultimately doesn't matter. And it ultimately doesn't matter what somebody else does for the anthem. And again, I'm not going to get into the, like, you know, what the protests mean or things like that, or what the player should or shouldn't do. The point is, like, why do you care that much what other people do? And all you people out there, I do have something to say to all you people out there who are like, I'm sick of politics in my sports and I'm boycotting the NFL. Well, shut up. The game on Sunday was like 3.5 hours or whatever it was, right? You know, NFL games around 3 hours and change. And the anthem thing is like the 5 minutes before the game even starts. Then once the game starts, there is nothing about it. I mean, like, people keep acting like they're so infringed upon. And, oh, man, they're putting this stuff where I don't want it. And I used to love watching football, but now it's just not the same. Why? The football game from when the toe hits leather, when they start the game, to the end, is completely politics-free, as it's always been. There is no difference, even with all this anthem stuff. There is no difference in the actual gameplay of an NFL football game. At all. Bucks game started on Sunday. Once it started, that was it. Even that thing, you know, what was it, Monday night with Jerry Jones, my God, just grandstanding his ass off in front of the camera. As off-putting as that might be, or not off-putting, whatever it is, once that game actually started, once the actual kickoff took place, there was no discernible difference in the viewing of a football game in 2017 or in 2010 or in 1997. None. I mean, literally none. So all you people out there, see, there's the thing. People love to make a big show about themselves and what, oh, I'm burning my jersey, and they'll post it on Twitter, burning jerseys, burning tickets, I'm not going anymore. People love to make a big show about how offended they are and about how they're not going to tolerate it. People love to make a big show about everything with themselves. The hurricane a couple weeks ago, people love to make a big show about how they're evacuating. Hey, I'm evacuating. I'm not going to let my children be in debt. Shut up. I don't care. Do whatever you want, but shut the hell up. Like, you're more protective of your family than anybody else. Shut up. Nobody cares about if you're offended or not. Nobody cares about if you evacuated for a hurricane or not. Nobody cares when to make this big show about, oh, I've been watching the NFL for 30 years, but this Sunday will be the first one I haven't watched it. Shut up. Like, it literally means nothing if you do that or not. Just like it literally means nothing if they kneel for the anthem or not. All of it means nothing. And you'll be way happier if you stop caring so much about what other people are doing when it doesn't matter at all. So, do whatever you want. Players can do whatever they want. I mean, the most ridiculous thing of all was the Pittsburgh guy who, the one that's, you know, been in the military and actually served like 3 tours in Afghanistan. And the whole Pittsburgh team had said, we're going to stay, you know, off the field for the anthem. Okay, whatever. And he stepped out there and did it anyway. Went out there and stood up for the anthem. That's great. I mean, it was fine. And then he ends up having to apologize a day later, which I don't know why he did that. But he, like, oh, I didn't mean to leave my team and this and that. That's the stupidest thing ever. What are you apologizing for? Stand for the anthem. I don't care. Nobody cares. And I'm not saying I'm personally like Colin Kaepernick, but let me tell you a quick little story about some of my quote-unquote anthem disrespect. Because I work at the Rays games and the Lightning games. I do some TV work on the TV truck. I do some graphics work where I sit in the TV truck at a lot of the games. I don't do it for Bucks games in the NFL. I don't do as much of that. But I do a lot of MLB, a lot of hockey. So at Rays games, you know, the game's about to start. I got to be in the truck once the game starts, and I can't leave the truck again until the game's over. So a lot of times I'll be up in the media dining hall getting something to eat about 15 minutes before the game starts. You know, that's it. I'm not eating again until 10:30 that night. So around 6:45, I'm up there in the media dining hall getting some food before I go down to the truck. And sometimes I'll push it all the way to about 6:55. You know, 7:10 is when the first pitch is, but I got to be in the truck by about 7 right then and there and go. And they sing the anthem at Rays games about right then, about 5 till 7-ish. And again, I got to be in the truck at 7. So a lot of times I'll be making my final plate of food, getting ready to eat, and they'll be firing the anthem up. And everybody in the dining room there stands up. And again, this is not in the stadium. This is a dining room with a monitor in it. And everybody stands up for the anthem, which I think is a little bit weird in general, but I'm not going to, I mean, that's fine. Again, I don't care. But you should see the looks I get if I'm like running late to get down to the truck. And sometimes, because the anthem takes like 2.5 minutes. And if they're playing the Blue Jays, they get O Canada. That's like 4 or 5 minutes worth of anthem. I can't just stand there and wait for it to end. I got to go. So I'll just casually and very quietly walk out of the dining room during one of the anthems. And I'll get just like always like 2 or 3 people. The anthem guy will start calling it because then, you know, we got all these anthem guys now. And they'll stare daggers at me. Or they'll even say stuff under their breath like, "What are you doing?" Screw you. I'm walking to the downstairs where I got to be. I don't have time to wait 2 minutes. Who cares? Why do you care? I've often found the people that thump their chest about America and freedom and this, that, and the other the most are often the people that actually get those things the least. I mean, it never fails. The more someone claims, "Oh, America, you know, American flag lapel pins, this and that, you know, all the rah-rah bullshit that isn't actually what it's all about, it's just faux, it's called slacktivism. It's like activism without actually doing anything." Those people are usually the ones that get it the least, I found. Because, like, making people stand up, demanding they pledge their allegiance, fealty, all that stuff, that's what they do in, like, North Korea and stuff like that. What's so cool about America and what these guys actually, and women too, have actually fought for, is that nobody cares. You can do anything you want. It's not a big deal. Like, don't they get, doesn't anybody get that? Like, what, the whole point is that, yeah, you don't have to stand for the anthem. This is America. It's cool. You're good. You know, North Korea, you do. Like, in North Korea, you know, they'll slice off digits if you don't do that stuff. But again, it's always the people, again, thumping their chest. "Oh, yeah, America, baby, that's right, freedom." You know, that those types, those are the ones that usually don't get it the most. So, yeah, stop caring about stupid stuff. And that isn't me, I'm saying, don't boycott. You can boycott if you want. If you're put off by it, that's fine. But just be put off by it and move on. And don't make a big show out of it. "And, oh, look at me. I'm so offended. I'm not going to watch the NFL anymore and this, that, and the other." Just don't watch. Although most of you probably will. I highly doubt. Much the same with head injuries, by the way. I highly doubt a year from now, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years from now, they'll be that much different about football than there is right now. Just like there isn't that much different right now than there was 5 years before. I mean, certain things have changed, but the overall experience is pretty much the same. And once again, the most important thing is, even if you are tired of quote-unquote politics and sports, or however you want to phrase it, they're not actually in the sports part. It's all the stuff around it, maybe on SportsCenter or on Twitter or even in the pregame. But once the games actually start, and this goes for all the sports, I haven't noticed any difference at all, and I doubt you have either. With that said, now if you want to email me, by the way, always feel free to contact me. I love listening to you guys. I love hearing your comments, cushion, discussion, everything. It's Bobby Game Day. It's all spelled normally. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. You can tweet at me at Bobby Game Day. All right? Those are the two best ways to get a hold of me. And I'll respond. I really will. I do and I have. So, again, just if you want to be a happier person in general, and I need to take this advice too because I catch myself all the time. caring about things that don't ultimately matter. Don't care so much about things that don't ultimately matter, and you'll be a lot happier. And that's a lesson I need to learn. It's a lesson we all need to learn. It's a lesson I try to teach my two kids, who are at ages of 5 and 2, where you particularly care a lot about things that don't matter. It's a lesson we could all take a lot from. So with the anthem stuff out of the way, we look ahead to the New York Giants, and like I was saying before, don't love them coming in at 0-3. Don't think they're a particularly good team. They've got a lot of flaws. There's a reason they're 0-3. But the Bucks have a lot of flaws too. And seeing now what we've seen out of the Bucks, both good and bad, and seeing the schedule, hey, that schedule looks a lot different now than it did before. I remember looking at the schedule, this is before the Hurricane Irma thing, and saying, okay, Dolphins, they should be shaky. We should be able to get a week one road win. You know, then week two, the Bears coming back. Now we're 2-0. And everybody does. We shouldn't do this, but I know everybody does this. You look at the game by game, and you're thinking, all right, those are two games out of the gate. They could go 2-0. And then, you know, split the Minnesota and New York games. And then they're 3-1. And that gives them some cushion in case they don't beat the Patriots. Not that they can't beat the Patriots. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that's what I was thinking beforehand. Then the Dolphins game gets moved. They still do what they're supposed to do, what we thought they'd do against the Bears, to go 1-0, but now they're 1-1. And now, the prospect of being 1-2 going into the Pats game is real. It can turn that quick. And I'm not a reactionary. Just did the whole opening segment on how you shouldn't be a reactionary. And no game in week 3 or 4 is that make or break, but it's a big game on Sunday. I mean, you've got 3 games in a 12-day span. This is the middle one. And if you lose this game at 1-2, now you're staring 1-3 smack dab in the face because of you-know-who coming in Thursday night. And again, not that the Bucs are penciling. I'm not penciling in a loss to New England in any way. I mean, hell, you've seen. I mean, the Chiefs had their way with them. The Texans go into Gillette and almost beat them. I mean, again, that final drive where the Patriots were down and they needed a touchdown, and it was Brady driving. And we'll talk more about the Patriots next week. They're not the opponent this week. But I was sitting there watching that game with my brother-in-law, and the Patriots were down by, they had to have a touchdown. I forget if it was 4 or 5 points, whatever it was. They had to have a touchdown, and they were like at their own 25 with whatever it was left, like a minute and a half, 2 minutes. And I turned to my brother-in-law, I said, okay, like, just purely mathematically right now, just the scenario, down 6 at your own 20-something, X amount of time left, you're not likely to win the game. You're not as likely to win the game as the team on defense. You'd rather be the team with the lead right now, just generic team A and team B. But I said, right now in this game, just straight up, who would you take to win right now, like live odds? And he didn't even hesitate. He's like, oh, New England, they'll win this. He's like, you know they'll win this. And I said, yeah, you know, I don't know. Like, I mean, it's Brady, it's the Patriots, but still, I mean, they're a mathematical underdog right now. Yeah, that meant nothing. He was right. They did it so fast, the Texans actually got the ball. But, I mean, it's kind of funny how a team can be so good that you see them do stuff like that over and over again, and you're still amazed when they do it again. Like, was that amazing what they did? Or would it have been more amazing if the Texans had dug in and stopped them? I'm not even sure which was more amazing or would have been more amazing. But I know that they're beatable. I know they're not the same, or at least so far, as they have been. Or at least they don't look like it. But I also know that I don't want to be 1-2 when the Bucks play them. And this game against the Giants on Sunday at a sold-out Raymond James Stadium is a big one. It's going to be fun. Hey, the 4 o'clock home kickoffs are so much fun. And they're even better after the clock turns and daylight saving time ends, because then you get that, like, it kind of gets dark by, like, the middle of the second quarter. And it feels like a primetime game by the second half. You're completely under the lights. But even this time of year, it'll be a lot cooler by the middle, by halftime. It'll still be hot at kickoff at 4 o'clock, but by halftime, it'll be getting a lot cooler. The second half will be really nice. Big crowd. You know, more people watching, fewer games on that time. I'm not sure what the 4 o'clock late slate is this weekend. But it's going to be a lot of fun. And then this whole week, I mean, this is basically a festival week. We got a game Sunday, three quick days off, and then a game on Thursday night against the Patriots. I'm thinking that I'll record the podcast a little sooner this next week just because of the accelerated schedule. But in closing, before I let y'all go, again, I don't ever try to offend anybody. I just say what I'm thinking. I don't get too upset if somebody is offended. But this goes for everybody, including me. That whole anthem rant, what I meant basically was, your individual feelings are yours. They're the only ones you have. Mine are the only ones I have. And you've got every right to them. Just stop making a big deal out of it. Both your feelings and both other people's actions. It's just none of this stuff is really that big of a deal. And it's just a stupid thing in general to be an issue right now in the NFL. I mean, for God's sake, I was watching college football on Saturday, watching the Gators Kentucky on SEC Network, and ESPN's got their bottom line there. And you know how they have like a tab for each thing? They have like MLB, and there'll be a tab that says MLB, then the scores will run through for MLB. Then there'll be an NFL tab, then the game scheduled for tomorrow will be all running down the bottom there. There was a Trump tab. Like, I'm watching the game, it says Trump, and then all the little different things about his comments and tweet, or the NFL, you know, commissioner, whatever. I mean, it's just ridiculous that we're even looking at stuff like that. And so that, when you say politics and sport, that I get. That's annoying. But I mean, it wasn't so annoying that it disrupted my watching of the game. And the final thought, and the one I want to reiterate from earlier in the show again and again and again and again, no matter how sickened you are or not by politics and this and that and the other, there hasn't been any in the actual games. Like, none. Like, keep that in mind. Like, once the game starts, they don't, you know, like, Jim Nance isn't talking about that. You know, Joe Buck's not talking about, once the game starts, it's just a game, just like all the other hundreds of games you've watched over your lifetime, thousands of games you've watched over your lifetime. Nothing's really changed. So, whatever side you think you're on, or whatever side you think somebody else is on, let's have some fun this weekend. Let's watch some football. It's week 4 in the National Football League, and we've already got big games. This is a big game on Sunday. Nothing like it. Enjoy it. Again, if you want to get a hold of me, at Bobby Game Day, or BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. Thanks to the Joes here at Joe Bucks Fan for hosting this podcast, allowing me to get it out to all the people. Thanks to the Dunedin Pirates, my semi-pro football team. Again, if you want to play football, play actual football with helmets and shoulder pads and the whole thing, and I'm not talking about flag football, I'm talking about real football. If you have that dream, or if you used to play and want to play again, you can do that. Like, you can do that. There is a league for you. I play in it. I've played in it for a few years. Go to DunedinPirates.com, or if you contact me on my email or my Twitter, I'll give you all the information that way. The season's in the spring. We're starting practice in the next, you know, month or so, and the games start. There's a preseason game in December. The real ones start in January. It's fun as hell. It's football. Like, you're playing football. You can play football. So thanks to them again, Joe Bucks Fan, the Joes, for hosting me. Everyone else, that is the Free Stretch Podcast number 4. As we get ready for week number 4. I'm Bobby Fenton. Thank you very much. Have a great day, afternoon, evening, whenever it is you're listening to this. Take care and be well.